talking security. The Microsoft Security Podcast. Talking security. So welcome back to another episode of the Talking Security Let's Talk, where we delve into the dynamic world of cybersecurity. I'm your host Frans Uijdendorp, alongside my co-host Poyan Gabazi. Welcome back, Poyan.
Thank you, Frans.
And today we're exploring the most significant enhancements and developments that have been shaped into the security landscape last month, into the Microsoft area mostly, but we have also some general updates that we have seen in the field. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and prepare for an in-depth discussion on cybersecurity. Let's talk security. So we're back with another one, the March update, Poyan. Was it a quiet month, or was there a lot?
Depends in which area you are looking for. I mean, from a security
It wasn't a busy month regarding updates on the Microsoft security products. But I think in the wild, we've seen some specific things to start. With Patch Tuesday, the Windows stuff, I think it's really necessary to use the update of the March Patch Tuesday update, because several actively exploited 0 days are used, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. It's based on the articles from Microsoft. It fixes, seven 0 days. In total, which is pretty high numbers, in my opinion. So we definitely will include the link to that article and definitely take a look. I also saw some funny stuff when it comes to the March patches. There is a known issue in there where if you are a Copilot user, it will remove certain Copilot plugins as well. So we had similar with VS Code. But yeah, besides that, I mean, the March patch includes 23 elevation of privilege vulnerabilities, 23 remote code execution vulnerabilities, and so on. So,
And that does not include the Mariner flaws and the 10 Microsoft Edge vulnerabilities. So they were exposed earlier this month. So I think it's really necessary to look into the Patch Tuesday update of March for Windows, because a lot of things are it's fixed there, you're actively probably under exposure if you not patch your system. Talking about another one that was coming through, that is a security alert in GitHub uses OAuth app to hijack your account. OAuth, it's, I think, with Defender for Cloud Apps, we have a system in place that can help you to detect things going on regarding OAuth apps. And I think what we've seen last year, that the use of OAuth app attacks is going bigger and bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, you mentioned indeed GitHub, for example. So there has been a campaign where they were attracting users to a fake authorization page to get OAuth. But the last couple of weeks, also the researchers from Proofpoint shared that they are seeing a campaign going on where, for example, Adobe Drive or DocuSign or other familiar applications to users are being used. So the users are allured to a page that says, well, do you want to give a consent to, for example, use Adobe Drive? And once they click on that, they are forwarded perfectly to the destination, Office 365 or somebody else. And the funny thing is, or the interesting point in this campaign is that you would expect that they are going to charge because you have different types of consent when it comes to OAuth applications within Entra ID. We have the user content where you say, okay, application X can use my certain information from me as user, like my name, email address, phone, etc. But you can also set this as an organization level. So once you set it as an organization level, then they have access to your whole organization. And this campaign is not targeted to the organization in general. So it's fairly targeted on the user side. So you would say, well, maybe the impact is much lesser than that. But through this way, if it is about a targeted attack where they are really targeting an organization or certain users within an organization, they will be able to get, for example, the full profile with your full name, user ID, pictures, but also your email and other information that are targeted in that response and can be used in a follow-up target. So I think everybody is saying for years, hackers log in these days. And I think this is a great example, again, where it's interesting for organizations to really get in control of how an application consent is given, because these are features, I believe, in Entra ID as well. So you can enable or disable who is able to set a consent. So if users are able to do this, or they need to request this to certain teams within the organization that need to set this for them. And if there's an authorization mechanism around it to monitor what's happening. That's
basically to add on that, if you have your security baseline on Entra on a certain level, then a normal user can give a consent, but only admins can do that in your environment with specific rules. But even then, if a user is asking for giving a consent for an Adobe application or for another known application in your environment, please be aware that it can be used by attackers that it's look like Adobe, but it's instead of the Adobe, it is an attacker. So you need to be careful to give a consent on certain applications, because if you're doing that organization wide, what you're mentioning, the impact can be really, really, really high.
Yeah.
And yeah, use Defender for Cloud Apps on that. We will do another recording early April on Defender for Cloud Apps with one of the PMs there. And that will really help to explain how Defender for Cloud Apps can help in your environment. So please keep an eye on our socials to see when that has happened and when that come online. To move forward, I have an update on Defender for Office. I think it was in the last recording, I mentioned the user report button. We in the past, the built-in report message add-in was used to report phishing or malware or spam in Defender for Office in Outlook. So you need to deploy an extra app from the Office portal to Outlook to all your users, and then they can report malicious email. Last month, I updated that the built-in report button in Outlook that is available for iOS and for Android. And because of that, it's available on all systems. It's available on Mac, on Windows, on iOS, on Android, so in the whole ecosystem, including web. Because of that, Microsoft deprecated the report message add-in. That's in the button that you need to deploy from the Microsoft 365 environment. So if you have deployed that one, please be aware that the built-in will replace that one, and that's available already. So you can remove the deprecated one, but it will be automatically removed by Microsoft in the next few months. So if you're using that, please be aware of that. Defender for Identity, I think a huge enhancement, it's in preview at the moment, is the enhanced identity inventory. So the identity part has moved into the security portal, and with that, under the assets, the identity page under assets has been updated to give more and better visibility and management of identities across the whole ecosystem, your whole environment. It's now included identities, a consolidated view of identities across Active Directory and Entra ID. Identities tab can be highlighted, key details including identity types and user informations, and it's also cloud application accounts that displays a list of cloud application accounts, including those from application connectors and third-party sources. And I think that really helps to get that overview in one page. I think that's really good. Besides that, so give another highlight, Defender for Cloud Apps, but it's broader than that. What we see in the whole ecosystem is that Microsoft, regarding role-based access, that Microsoft is doing a lot of stuff there, because new roles are popping up, people admin role within Entra, other roles are popping up. So you can give more granular permissions to admins and users and so on. And with that, within Defender for Cloud Apps, customers can now configure role-based access scoping for behaviors. This new capability allows admins to define and manage access permissions more precisely. They can ensure that users have the appropriate level of access to specific application data based on their role and responsibilities. And I think, talking about least privilege, I think these kind of things are really helping to secure your environment more and more. So I will do an update in the description with the links as well. But not a lot of updates on the XDR suite, but I think really helpful there. Do you have other updates as well, Puyan?
Yeah, we do have some updates on Defender for Cloud for today. We do have some really amazing features that for Microsoft Sentinel, and also for example, the Unified SOC, etc., that are currently or in private preview, where we cannot share about. But I would really, if you want to be aware of that, the features that are being developed, we have mentioned it a couple of times, please join the Security Connection program. We had Pablo and Katie also in our episode series to talk about it. So there's a lot going on. I hope that I can share that at least without mentioning things out. But unfortunately, we are not able to broadcast it on a public platform at the moment yet. So hopefully we can share on those once they go to public preview in the coming period, hopefully.
One other thing, maybe it's good to know, regarding Defender for Cloud, we have started the Defender for Cloud series years ago. And that was quiet for last year, but next week we're recording this. Tuesday, March, before we moving into the MVP summit in Seattle next week. what we will do after the summit, we will plan our Defender for Cloud series again. We will connect with peers and Microsoft PMs to highlight the specific features there. So maybe to get a bit more detail on a specific Defender for Cloud stuff. If you want to know more, please reach out to us so we can set that on the agenda for that kind of recordings. But we will move forward there.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely wait for our episodes after the summit while we have some great big guests that we will be talking to. So, but to focus on what's now there and what is announced the last couple of weeks. If you focus on the Defender for Cloud, and if you are using as organization Defender for Storage, which helps you to protect your storage accounts, for example. So yep. If you have Azure storage accounts within the organization where you are storing through the file shares, through the blob storages, big data solutions or other information, you can use Microsoft Defender for Storage. Can help you against malwares and other security risks within your organizations. There was a feature that was in public preview, which now is in GA, and that's the fact that you can now trigger on-demand the malware scanning feature. So let's say the use case that you are an incident response team and you are investing in a storage account because of certain alerts that are coming from it. Now you can trigger the malware scan on that specific storage account after detecting suspicious activity. But you can do this through the Azure portal UI. You can do that through the REST API, and that gives you, of course, the option and possibility to use Azure Logica, for example, to create also scheduled tasks for that. So the way you are doing full scans on your VMs, for example, you can then schedule the same for Azure Storage account to scan those actively on malware, for example. So that is, I think, a great feature that gives the security responders definitely the feature to act when needed. Also, continuing on the Defender for Storage, when it comes to the blob storage specifically scanning. Up to now, we had a limitation of 2 gigabytes. So if your blob storage was bigger than 2 gigabytes, it wouldn't be supported. It's currently increased to 15 gigabytes. And a big note there is if you have a blob storage which is 50 gigabytes and you are doing a malware scanning, keep in mind that this can impact the pricing you have on the monthly basis for that feature on your storage account.
Yeah, and it's good to know. Last year, I was involved in a project where we used Defender for Storage. We need to move into Defender for Storage version 2, so to say. There was a new version deployed, and you need to actively enable that one. The new features you are mentioning, the on-demand malware scanning and the up to 50 gig is for the new version. So if you're still running on the old version of Defender for Storage, you cannot use these kind of features. So you need to move into the new version of Defender for Storage there.
Yeah, and that you configure that through the Defender for Cloud. If you go to solutions you have enabled for your environment, let's say Defender for Cloud, Defender for Storage, sorry, then you have the option because it's more a billing migration step, which you can enable to hands over. Talking about billing, Microsoft released the Microsoft Defender for Cloud cost calculator in public preview. But with the Defender for with the cost calculator dashboard, it's a dashboard. It's part of Defender for Cloud. If you go to your environments, you see at the top menu the option. You can calculate based on the subscriptions that are in your environment, based on what features you want to enable, what subscription, for example. very straightforward. What is it going to cost you for the whole organization level or for that specific subscription? So it's a very nice calculator that you can use. So I think definitely with the whole making the vendor for cloud more aware and more, I think it's good also to clarify the pricing, because there are some features that are not quite clear, let's say, for some features like the vendor for DevOps, you need to have specific licenses within the product as well, and the same is for Defender for API as well. For example, it has its different it requires its own billing model, but for that you need to first enable the CSPM, it's called, on your subscription, be able to use those features as well. Those are, I think, the updates regarding the Defender for Cloud for March.
More or less. Then we're diving into the last few standard topics that we have in the recordings that we are doing. Community Spotlight. I think in the last recording we mentioned a form that can be filled in to be part of this recording, so to feature your community project or whatever you're doing for the community, to highlight that. We have a few people that want to join, but planning wise is sometimes horrible to realize that, but we're opting for the next recording to have Rogier Dijkman on the recording to feature his community stuff there as well. So this time we have a GitHub from
Rod Trent.
Rod Trent. Yeah. Rod is doing a lot for the community. Rod is working for Microsoft. We had him on a Defender for Cloud recording as well.
On the
launch
of the Defender for Cloud. Yeah.
Yeah. And but Rod has a, and we will put the link into the description, but he has a GitHub environment where he featured a lot of things. But what kind of thing do you want to feature and to highlight on that?
Yeah, so for people that know Rod has been, I think, involved with the community over the years, with a strong focus. So many years ago, once we met Rod, I met personally Rod, was on the Sentinel side. Then he went a lot focusing on the Defender for Cloud. And for the last period, he's really focused on the security co-pilot. And for people that have been playing with Security Copilot, there's one thing really important, and that is being a really, really good prompt engineer. It has a couple of reasons. One, I think number one is the billing model that Microsoft is applying for the for Security Copilot. That is where you are paying for the question you are asking in general, let's say, because it's calculating the sentence and etc. So if you have a very long sentence around it, it's going to cost more units. So it's important to have a really good developed prompt where you are clear, understandable, because based on that you can also get a better question. So he has a Security Copilot GitHub where he has developed the developing better prompts for Microsoft Security Copilot workshop. And it's a PowerPoint slide which you can use if you are going to use for own purposes or you want to train your customers, your organization, how to become a better prompt engineer. A good Google searcher is not a good prompt engineer, and vice versa, it's not the same. And he has also announced last week a big update where he has expanded the content on more on the generative AI and LLMs to explain more on that and focus on that. But also the focus point on responsible AI. This is very interesting topic of conversation, which we were planning to do today, but we will park this for a different episode, because for who is involved with AI and in at this moment in security, you are also maybe aware of solutions like GhostGPT, which are jailbroken versions of LLM models that give you. So a responsible AI is its own topic where we will come back. So he has a go definitely check his GitHub. The PowerPoint presentation is brilliant, but on top of that, he has also worked out certain plugins which you can use for example, for Wiz, and those can be integrated within your Security Copilot. So once you ask Security Copilot something about the domain, it will go to Wiz to pull that information as well. And it also contains certain prompts to give you a good understanding how you can ask certain questions to get certain information. So it's a very valuable project. So thanks, Rod, as always, for making this possible for the community. If you are playing with Security Copilot, definitely a place to be to get a really good understanding of what you are doing, how you are doing, and why you are doing it.
Nice. Move forward. Event roundup. I have a few events coming up. Let's have a look. Microsoft Secure Online Edition, April 9. It's online. I don't think the registration is already there, but keep an eye on the socials of Microsoft, and we will also feature that. That's coming up after the MVP summit, and then let's have a look what Microsoft has to announce on that one. With that, RSA and the RSA conference will be on April 27 to May 1st in San Francisco. That's an in-person event. And I think from a security perspective, a lot of things. Also, MISA, the partner, the partner awards will be organized there from Microsoft, not from RSA, but Microsoft is doing that on the RSA conference. Here in the Netherlands, we have Experts Live Netherlands on June 3rd. If you are in the Netherlands and Netherlands based, have a look on that. Tickets are still available, so you can come to NBC in Nieuwegein. An initiative from Switzerland, the Swiss Microsoft Security Summit, that's on May 20. An initiative of Alan Snyder, one of our friends, is there. If you want to know more, have a look on that, and I will put the URL in the notes as well. Nice. Any other events coming up?
From a past event, the one there.
Yeah,
if you weren't there physical or you weren't able to join it online, unfortunately, the content will not be available. But some of those great speakers like Thomas Rodriguez and Matthias and everybody, all the great speakers are sharing their presentation online. So we will try to point those presentations for if you have missed it, unfortunately. I believe the content is not online. It was very shortly online, but it won't be online anymore. Or they will need to decide something else. But the presentation will be shared here and there. So we will try to make a summary for you in our blog post to share those presentations so that at least you can get a glimpse on what kind of content we'll share.
Yeah, nice. To finish up, we have the last one, one thing before we can close. That's the fun geeky element. What was the first ever domain name registered on the internet? And when was it registered? Do you know that? Quite hard. It's symbolics.com.
You need to ask me questions in the time zone that I was born in.
Yeah. It was registered by Symbolics Computer Company on March, what was it? March 15 in 1985. So it's a long time ago. The domain market marked the beginning of commercial internet usage and still active today, serving as a historical reference point for internet pioneers and enthusiasts alike. So good to know.
It's very interesting. I'm just going to Google it up. So
yeah, with that, thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the Let's Talk from the Talking Security podcast. We hope our deep dive into the latest cybersecurity advancements has provided you with valuable insights and practical strategies to bolster your organization's defenses. Yeah, it's all AI coming through. But yeah, until next time, stay vigilant, stay informed, and keep the conversation alive. Together, we can navigate to the complexities of the cybersecurity landscape. My name is Frans Uijdendorp, along with my co-host Poyan Gebazi. Thanks for joining us on the Talking Security podcast. Take care, and we'll see you in the next episode. Talking Security, the Microsoft Security Podcast. Secure.